Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, you. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England have lessons to learn. Denmark pulled themselves together and Scotland were gubbed. Away we go! Ah. Hello, everybody. I'm Marcus Speller, Luke Moore, Jim Campbell, and Pete Donaldson are here.
All right.
Hello. Oh, it's good to have you, boys.
Good to hear the word gubbed.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
First of the season, which is a surprise given that we've been talking about Fort William every week.
Mm. It is. I thought we were overdue.
Yeah.
It's a very Scottish word.
Is it a word that's specific to a certain part of Scotland, though? Because Fort William's, of course, a little bit out there. So.
It is. As far as I'm aware, it isn't. It's quite a Scottish word. But if that is wrong, then please get in touch.
Don't get in touch. You've got better things to do than
in
that.
England, we used to use the word. Was it drubbed? They were drubbed.
It's a very tabloidy word.
A drubbing,
though,
yeah.
It is, yeah. That doesn't seem to surface these days, which I'm fine with.
The Ramble enjoys a shellacking every now and again.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that points towards the fact that Scotland were well and truly hammered, which we'll come on to later, I presume.
England were beaten as well by a better side.
Yes.
Yes.
And look at, and just before we go into that, the Nations League.
Good start.
It's working all right.
Good start.
Look at League D. Lower ranked European games, teams playing against each other. Lower ranked European teams, sorry. In games that mean something, Georgia picking up wins, Faroe Islands getting a win, Andorra getting a draw, Kosovo getting a draw, Liechtenstein winning.
How many of them did you watch?
None of them. the level of football is horrendous.
But at least you know where it is and you can avoid it.
The point is, if those teams do well and they get promoted and they start playing against better teams, they're going to improve beyond the fact, because what we're used to seeing from these teams are, oh, we've got Andorra in our group, let's send all our players over to Andorra to win 8-0. I mean, it's pointless. Mm. It's absolutely pointless.
And that will still happen when the qualifying for the European Championship.
True, but they get a little bit of a departure. And I just remembered that England were drawing 0-0 at half time with Andorra once.
Yeah. Yes. Which was the. Yeah, that was the David Nugent goal.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. But even then, right at the other end, if you look at how France approached their game in the Netherlands, you can tell it matters.
It does.
All of the games feel competitive, and it's exactly what the point of the Nations League was. And I mean, I know we're only a short way into it, but I'm enjoying it so far. I like it.
Yes, it would have been more enjoyable.
Let's have more of it.
A lot more of it. It would have been enjoyable if England, from that loss against Belgium in the third place playoff, from then until the first game of the UEFA Nations League, In Group A4, England had
League A Group.
Sorry.
Yeah,
League
that's okay.
A Group.
It's going to take us all a bit of a.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm glad you seem to have got your head around it more than most of the population.
I've done my research. I've actually done a bit of work. Yeah.
You genuinely like went off.
I love football, so I don't mind doing it.
So in that time, I hope that England had learned to pass it a bit better, to press a bit better, to keep the ball a bit better. The intensity was there, but they were beaten by a better side. But Gareth Southgate was very realistic before and after the match with his assessments. Let me just read this quote out to you. He said, "We have to keep faith in what we're trying to play. Otherwise, we go back to what we've done historically. And there's no way we'll ever be a top team if we do that. We have to be brave enough to stick to our principles, and identify how to improve, but that won't be easy." And he's right, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Croatia game was a perfect example of that, wasn't it? The second half was a complete sort of falling back onto old methods.
Even parts of the first half, and we can forget that.
Yeah, very much so. But that's right. I mean, he's making all the right noises again. Rashford's goal, not simply for Rashford's finish, but the nature of it, the way they built that from the back and stretched Spain was very, very impressive. And obviously...
Short-lived.
Yeah, short Sal's goal was pretty much like, come on, back in your box. Like, yeah. Very much so. Like, just a sort of even tighter kind of more slick passing move than England's. But, you know, the fact that... I mean, imagine if that goal had been scored at the World Cup. It would have been one of England's best moments.
And we would have lost 2-1 without
question. We absolutely would have lost as well. But, I mean, that is a real positive thing that we're at least starting to get those goals in there. So, yeah, I mean, it's a loss. And, you know, we're already chasing the rest of the group.
We're battling against relegation.
You said that it would have been 2-1, but surely VAR would have given us an extra goal, surely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's a real thing. Let's forget about not being able to keep the ball as well as Spain.
2-2.
Absolute disgrace.
Why is no one talking about the possibility of having VAR, but only when it benefits our team?
Yeah, exactly.
I would be for... I agree with pretty much everything Southgate said. And the England goal was a good goal, and it shows that England can play well in flashes. And I completely endorse the idea that we can't keep being left behind in the way we play. But England are only going to be able to show that sort of stuff in flashes until they have a tradition or a history or build up some sort of experience of being able to control games in the midfield area. Because if we're being generous about England in that Croatia game, we could say, they were pretty tired, they're a young team, they probably expended a lot of nervous energy and blah, blah, blah. But if you're being possibly a bit more even-handed, you would say, I can't really control games. England had a great run to the semi-final. They had a favourable run, which is fine because, you know, the teams who were there deserve to be there. They're there on merit. But we never really ever controlled a game against a better team.
No.
And it's going to take us a while to be able to build up and bring the players through that can do that. And Gareth Southgate said himself, the only player he can think of that could do that was Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, we're going back a bit now.
And you know,
I
what's been really interesting about that is the way that's been reported is a lot of newspapers say, Gareth Southgate on the lookout for new Gascoigne, which is exactly the problem. That's the whole problem straight happening again.
Well, it would be the problem if Southgate cared about what the press said, which he doesn't.
No, absolutely. But the narrative might now be, you know, on whichever, you know, young player comes through next, that they have that tag attributed to them because it's out there and it's being sort of just looked at through that sort of old school England lens.
But the way that Gascoigne played in defence as well, like he was a rough and tough kind of guy who would take the ball back if it had been lost and stuff like that. He was kind
the
of
energy he had.
He had a lot of energy and he wanted the ball all the time. And that's not something that can be said for anyone who has played.
He just had the quality to control the tempo of a game.
I mean,
and it doesn't mean you have to be a Gascoigne type player to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some other players can. Players like, if you think of someone like
Xavi
or Iniesta,
very different players.
Yeah, they're nothing like Gascoigne, but they could still control a game. And you could even speak of someone like Valderrama back in the day, who was a classic number 10. But could also control the tempo of the game, could slow the whole game down. Zidane, Baggio, you get different types of players that can do it. The closest England have had to a player that can do it in the last year or so is that one game, I can't even remember the game it was, and it was when Fabian Delph played in that Henderson role, and he lent the ball out and got it back and did really well. But I think it was in a friendly, and it was against probably fairly poor opposition. And so England are quite a distance away from having someone that can do that. And I don't know how they would bring someone through. But I suppose the positive would be if we were to have someone like that under the current regime, you think, well, at least Gareth Southgate would identify and get them in there, which is something that wouldn't happen in the past with someone like Carrick, for example.
Yeah. Just to be safe, can we start calling Fabian Delph Dazza?
Yeah, all right, I'm up for that.
Get on that hype train.
Yeah, well, sounds good.
And drink Wazza.
Yeah, Fabba.
Well, we've had a Wazza.
Yeah.
And he's doing very well over in Washington.
No, but drink
DC.
Water, drink Wazza.
Yeah. Wazzington DC.
To my mind, the closest we've been to that is, and I mentioned it on this show, possibly just before the World Cup. And Marcus, you might have to fill me in on the details here because my memory's terrible. We played a game in the World Cup. Might have been 2006. Did we play Ecuador in 2006?
Yes.
And
free kick.
Carrick played just behind two midfield players.
He did. He wasn't that convincing.
I thought he was excellent. I watched it back for this purpose before the World Cup, and I thought he was decent.
Okay. Well, England weren't that convincing on that. But anyway, I get the point.
I think he was probably one of the best players we had.
Well, I think
he never famously never played a decent amount of competitive games for England because we're terrible at identifying that type of player.
Well, now and the quest now is to find those kind of players and develop those kind of players, and hopefully with more English players playing in Germany, and they will get the game time and develop. But I think that Southgate, how he's setting up England at the moment, is probably the right way to go about it. I understand that. Was it Jamie Carragher was talking about the problem is with the system at the moment is if you have wing backs and you play against a team who play kind of 4-3-3. You get pinned back and then you have five at the back and it's difficult to get out. So I understand the criticisms there. But I think what Southgate is trying to do is actually more of a Jurgen Klopp-style approach to the game. Klopp is not so besotted with possession like other people are. His is more, what did he call it, heavy metal football. And actually, when he plays against teams, most notably Pep Guardiola's sides, actually gets a bit of joy because he goes straight for
he bypasses the press, basically.
Essentially, yeah. And his sides have learned how to do that very, very well. And they attack and they play really high tempo. They do press high and they score goals. And as we saw in the Champions League and the 4-3 at Anfield, two seasons ago now, if you can get at those teams and you can get a bit of joy, you can sort of crash bang wallop them for a period of 10, 20 minutes, and that wins you the game, and then you kind of go into a more zonal and protect. And so if England actually, because you've got to play with the hand you're dealt with, and I think what Southgate's doing absolutely right. But if we suddenly think, come on, Henderson, be like Xavi or be like somebody like that, he's not going to be. And Henderson himself said he was very tired because of it's a very difficult job.
Well, he's not played much football. He's not played much football.
But Dele Alli and Jesse Lingard are playing slightly out of position.
Exactly, and you wonder whether this formation suits the players we've got because Kane likes to play up front on his own. Mm-hmm. Ali likes to play off Kane, and Ali's at his best, in my opinion, when he's instinctive. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he's got too much time, he mucks about way too much for my liking. Yeah. I know that makes me sound old, but you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe they have to adapt that slightly. But at the same time, that would indicate the idea of playing a 4-2-3-1. And I don't like England playing
not necessarily.
Too ponderous holding midfield.
So what you can do then, and if England, we talked about the centre halves last time round. If England can get great, consistent performances out of, say, Stones and Gomez were the two we highlighted, because I think Maguire's good, but I think, you never know, but I think Maguire in the centre of a four at top-level international football, I'm not sure if, I think in that three he kind of works. But if England can find themselves getting into a back four, you can still play that three in midfield, just one in front of the back four, and then your two shuttlers. But then you've got two guys out wide who are, with the support of the fullbacks, who can still act like wingbacks because they're that good, what England have. So in your wide positions, you could play Dele Alli, but slightly lopsided coming in, if Sterling on the other side and Kane up top. If we could move into that, that would be quite exciting.
I thought his comments about Marcus Rashford were really interesting because he identified that he feels like Rashford basically wasn't close enough to goal and was dropping too deep. And he wasn't getting the best out of Rashford, sort of as you touched on with Ali actually as well, his instinctive sort of kind of finishing ability. And obviously that paid off with a goal just by that little tweak. So Southgate has made made a lot of noise throughout his tenure about tweaking things and finding the right way to play. And that's not changing the formation with every game. It's adapting it slightly and trying players into even very slightly different positions. And if we're going to go on to be a team that can dominate play against better teams and can compete against competitive teams, then these little flashes where we do pass the ball really, really well and look like we're controlling the game, they need to just gradually be extended. It's not going to happen overnight. It might not even happen with this generation. It might be that in future years, that's just how England play because that's just how football is. And, even though it's three defeats in a row, which is a bit of an anomaly, it's still looking really positive.
You're coming up against one of those defeats is in a third place player from the World Cup, which everyone in this room and outside of this room in England probably would have taken. And secondly, we're playing against a Spanish team who've got a new manager, so the players are obviously interested in impressing that manager. So it's a bit of a perfect storm, really. What do you think the positives were for England to take from this?
Well, just on that note, I was hoping that the manager was going to get sacked like the day before.
Exactly. Well, every game.
I thought that could be a cycle that would benefit the wider picture in Europe other than Spain itself. I mean, the positives are England finished the game with a flurry. And, okay, it would have been a very lucky equaliser and a David De Gea mistake, which he seems to have in him these days. Yeah. Which is quite strange.
I have to say, I know this is going to make me sound unpopular, but I thought that was a foul.
I thought it was
me up to the Tower of London now, but I thought he fouled it was either Ramos or I can't remember, or someone else. He pushed him in the back and then he's backed into De Gea, knew what he was doing. Right. These days, that's always going to be given.
Well,
you better
hope that the police turn up after we finish recording, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Because you've got some questioning heading your way. But it was given as a foul, so that's the end of the conversation. But England did finish with a bit of a flurry. The intensity was all right. I mean, yes, in periods, of course, Spain looked pretty relaxed and so on. But I think the character of the side is still there. And I think that Southgate, he's trying to change a footballing culture. And if you go into any situation without sounding, you know, unnecessary about this, if you go into any kind of situation, whether it's your work environment, your family, if you try and change a culture, it takes time. And Southgate is doing that and great success. Slightly fortuitous, but still at the World Cup, one we'll remember for many a year. And he's doing that. And again, he is not letting up.
Are gutted about the waistcoat markers.
Well, you asked me to talk about the positives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to focus on the negatives.
Yeah. Maybe he had a waistcoat on under his shirt. People just haven't seen it.
Tattooed on.
Imagine he tattooed himself a waistcoat.
That horrible kind of block tattoo you only see on, I think, the shoulder.
The bass player from Rage Against the Machine.
People covering other tattoos up.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe the waistcoat could come back for the next two, maybe for the Switzerland game tomorrow night. Who knows?
Yeah, I agree with Marcus. You can only play with the hand your delf.
Right.
Hand your delt?
Yeah, I get it. I got it.
This is why you don't like puns, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not very good at them.
But it was a lovely pass from Luke
Shaw.
And we have to thank Jose Mourinho.
And he got punished for it.
Yeah, he did. We have to thank Jose Mourinho.
For falling over in public.
I think this is all some sort of orchestrated PR thing. Because there's been a lot of press talk about, you know, the new look nice Mourinho. I think he's making himself a little bit of a Mr. Bean character to throw us all off the scent.
If you saw it, there's no way he'd done on purpose. It was horrendous.
I only saw a freeze frame. It looked like he was on some kind of bridge. Where was he?
He was going over a velvet rope onto a carpet into a hotel, I think.
All right, okay, of course
he was. Into or out.
Home, as he calls it.
What an amazing metaphor for how things are going for him.
Into the Linton Travel Tavern.
Yeah, I'm moving house. Do you mean room? Yes.
Yeah. I saw a newspaper story yesterday saying Zinedine Zidane has told friends he's expecting a call from Man United.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, is that a story?
No. I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm not worried about it. I think it'd be great.
Marcus Rashford did have a couple of chances. He probably should have added to his tally of one.
Do you want to go to the Tower as well?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I said probably. I mean, a draw would have probably flattered England a little bit. So England are now up against it. They're away in Croatia next month and then away in Spain. But, you know, on the road with the waistcoat back on, Jim, let's turn that frown into a smile.
Yeah.
3 points. Saying
I think it's all right. One of the positives, Luke, is with Jordan Pickford's football boots.
Yeah, Chris is cracking. Yeah.
Grabbed our attention last week. Some players have their kids' names or something similar written on their boots. Written on Pickford's boots, the words, get the rave on.
He initially said that in an interview when he was playing for Sunderland, didn't he?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it was sort of like, almost like a call to action for the fans, but I love that. It's
get the rave on.
I know.
That's why they got just demoted.
It's so northern.
It is. There's so much character in
Pete sat there thinking,
though.
What's your problem?
The North East is the only place where you still see posters for happy hardcore nights. Yeah. And you just don't see them anywhere
else. In the North, when you have a wedding, get the rave on is in the vows.
Yeah.
It's also live.
Pickford's also got an underrated rascal haircut.
Oh, yeah.
His haircut is like one of those weird, like 90s French crops.
Rascal. He's Thomas Turgoose, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Absolutely. Yeah, he is.
But it was good to see. But yeah, Spain play Croatia at home next. So all to play for in Group A for Spain.
I think England. My prediction is England are going to become a team that is permanently flitting between League B and League A.
Yeah, yeah.
If it carries on this way and teams take it seriously and it becomes a going concern, which we expect it to, it'll be they'll go between B and A almost like the Darren Huckabee of international football.
England
they're the Newcastle United of international football.
Oh, God, we really are. Yeah. England are, I mean, they're in a very tough group there, but obviously it's based on the coefficient, you know, so fair enough. But it would be strange to see England relegated. But then we could see England get promoted. Let's look on the bright side, Pete. You enjoyed it when Newcastle
But we'd have to be relegated,
to, be
promoted.
Relegated to be promoted.
Well, I refer you to Pete Donaldson's Newcastle United.
All right, then.
Just don't be boring.
Well, England play Switzerland tomorrow night. The Swiss beat Iceland 6-0 in the Nations League. Mm.
Six different scorers.
Is that their heaviest defeat in a little... in ever?
I wouldn't have thought ever.
One goal for every person living in Iceland.
Yeah, indeed. Well, those is it the end of the road? For those Icelandic slugs.
Are you saying that's to be here now of the Icelandic movement?
<Yeah. laughs>
The Icelandic golden era is
actually
over.
I don't think Marcus acknowledges a decline in Oasis's output, do you?
No. they've never been better.
Noel Gallagher's nominated for a Bleeding Mercury this year. You're not having it.
Save it for your radio show, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Just trying to bring some contemporary news to this flagging show.
Well, I'll give you some contemporary
Give us another bit of contemporary news.
I'll give you some contemporary news. Ben Chilwell and Andre Gray have been brought into the England squad.
I'm surprised that he's called up Andre Gray and he's ignored Ings and Wilson.
I think the match is being played at Leicester City.
Right, okay.
So maybe they're trying
to keep travel costs down. It's Damari Gray.
Damari Gray, that's what I meant. Sorry.
All the Grays.
Sorry, Jimbo, that's, the Leicester City one. basically, we're playing a game Tuesday night.
Do you fancy it?
Bring your boots.
Yeah.
They're already in the stadium. All right, fine.
I mean, that's not how we should be picking teams.
No. That is
exactly
a worrying
how
sort
you
of
should.
Slip, actually, isn't it?
Why have you picked Ben Chilwell? He was in the area.
Yeah.
No, that's not what should be happening.
Well, Vardy, I mean, he could have, he's probably thinking to himself, I should have retired, you know, next month.
Match,
I don't fancy away trips to Croatia and Spain. But there we are. But Luke Shaw has, of course, gone back to Manchester after he got poleaxed.
Well, I'm pleased it was. It doesn't appear to be that serious. I was really worried for him. He had such bad luck. And I think he started the season really well. And he's played his way into that team. And he deserved to start for England. And to see him finish the game in that way was actually quite distressing.
It was a shame. But he got a beautiful assist.
He did. He was fantastic.
And again, thanks goes to Jose Mourinho.
Indeed. Well, Luke, to be fair, Luke Shaw said that himself.
Yeah. Mm. I know. I'm not being sarcastic.
Yeah. If we have a pop at Mourinho when he does some bad things,
absolutely,
we owe it to ourselves to ignore him when he does good things.
I don't like him saying that it was a good thing that Jose Mourinho bullied me in public.
Yeah. You think it's like Stockholm syndrome?
I think it's unhelpful. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
it's like and us here.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right then. Well, we'll be back after the break with some emails from Petey, and we shall talk about Denmark and Wales. See you in a moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We'll be right back. Ball's coming in the box now. What a save. Speroni.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. As promised, it's time for emails with PTD.
It is time for emails with me. Hello to... Oh, I've not put the name down, but thank you very much to whoever came in this one. Actually, we had a few emails about this, so it's important that I don't single one person.
From the Ramble listeners at large.
Yeah. Mm. A few more surprising links for you following your Van Aanholt fair revelation that we brought you a few weeks ago.
What was that one remind?
All of these cousins. All of these players are cousins. All of these players are cousins. Iwobi and Okocha.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lualua and Bolasie.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
Modric and Viduka.
Yeah, I heard
that's
that
a,
one.
That's a well-known one, isn't it? Yeah.
Viduka.
Ooh.
Viduka.
I don't think I know this song.
Mark Viduka. It's easy.
Because it was never sang at Newcastle United, where he was dreadful. Yeah.
Did you not know the words?
Nani and Angel Gomez, and also Drogba and Tebili.
Oh, Oliver Tebili. Oh, okay. Right. Good. So keep those coming in. Thank footballing cousins.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. And also Victor Wanyama and McDonald Mariga, the only two Kenyan players that anyone can name, prove me wrong, are actually brothers. Lovely. Ashley
and
Bidad.
And Jim Campbell and Sol Campbell.
Yeah.
Correct. Ashley Bidad says, if I'm not too late, I have a couple of highlights for this week's show. You're never too late, my friends.
Well, you are. It's after we've made the show.
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be another one along soon.
That's too late. We're like buses. Yeah. Terrible buses. Taking inspiration from Romario's interview with 442, where he proclaimed, my biggest regret was not telling some motherfuckers to fuck off.
Sounds like
you're a motherfucker. Fuck off.
That's what it's like. Pete Donaldson was saying.
Yay. Mm. I spent all week contemplating Robert Earnshaw's refreshingly existential theories, only to come with a conclusion. Isn't having a conversation with your future self and having a conversation with your past self the same thing?
Ooh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, technically, but it would happen in different times, though. So it's, the question is still valid, surely.
Well,
yeah,
but you're still you, though, aren't you? So you're still conversing with your past self.
Yeah.
Whereas your past self is conversing with your future self. So
true, yeah.
The correlation is the same.
You're the mind boggles.
Still time cousins, aren't you?
Yeah.
Time cousins.
Yeah. here's an email from Anonymous, and you'll see why he wants to be remained.
Well, not the hacking group Anonymous.
I was going to say, open that bloody email.
We've got Marcus's emails.
Does it say now all your bases are belong to us?
Marcus leaks. That's what I've heard anyway. Long-time listener, one-time colleague of Marcus's here. So this person needs to work with you. Don't speculate, because it's anonymous.
Marcus has gone pale.
I think it is that group we just mentioned.
Further to your recent mention of Dennis Wise, I thought I'd send a short tale of my encounter with him. I used to be a stadium announcer at a very much punching at their weight football club. At one time, Dennis's team came to play in a pre-season friendly. Dennis was there as either a coach or a non-playing player, I forget. Plus, I'm trying to keep it vague to remain largely unidentifiable.
Doesn't say.
We're keeping everything anonymous. Either way, he was in... It's not going for gold, Marcus. Calm it down, all right?
Well, I've got this one because apparently he knows only me.
Either way, he was in the away dugout chatting to his teammates, lads, banter, etc. They had just signed a new foreign centre-half and ever the professional, I wanted to check what the pronunciation was. So, during a short pause in their conversation, I went up to the diminutive trouble magnet and said, excuse me, Dennis. Before I could finish my sentence, he rolled his eyes at his teammates, grabbed my clipboard and pen out of my hand, scrawled his name across my team sheet and handed it back. All without looking at me even once. I was a little bit taken aback at the sheer audacity of the man. I mean, I was stood in the dugout, for crying out loud. I was wearing a club pass. I was clearly a club official. So I said, no, Dennis, I don't want your autograph. I just want to know how to pronounce your number 23. Bold move, I think.
Yeah.
His teammates creased up. He glared at me with his two close together eyes, spat, I don't fucking know, through his pinched lips, and he marched back up the tunnel to the dressing room as fast as little legs could carry him.
Before ripping my throat out. Who was the player? Stuff. Doesn't say, no.
Doesn't say.
No, shame.
No, never mind.
Hard to narrow that one down, but...
He should know.
I mean, some stories when people email in and they say, oh yeah, I met such and such and he acted like this and so on, and you think, I don't believe that. Believe that one.
Yeah.
Have you got some inside knowledge then, Marcus? Yeah. But
Dennis Wise acting like that, Jim. I think we've all got the knowledge.
Remember that but the source is, you know, connected to you.
Remember that it's anonymous. I don't know who it is.
It's that taxi driver. Remember that taxi driver? You know, if the cap fits.
Nicholas Bender.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
ooh.
Yeah, ongoing court case.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I just said Nicholas Bentley.
Yeah, I know. We all know what you meant. We all know what you meant.
Lachlan Town from Brisbane, Australia has pointed out, a few people have pointed this out, that the new FIFA 19 has basically, they've taken like a picture of Alan Pardew and Emmanuel Riviere one of the poorer Newcastle imports, and they've slapped him in the middle of FIFA for no good reason.
Yeah,
like completely, like they have anonymised him, both people.
You can play as Alan Pardew.
No, you can't play as Alan Pardew. But it basically, the top of his head's cut off. So that's supposed to be an anonymous manager hanging out and shaking hands with an anonymous footballer.
Ah.
And it's clearly Emmanuel Riviere and also Alan Pardew. So I will not be purchasing.
No, but that's what a dig. It's effectively declared him an irrelevant.
Yeah, we can anonymise this and no one will know.
Yeah, but this man doesn't count as a person.
They could have chosen any manager, Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, okay, fair enough.
Never mind. Thank you very much. You want to get to your show at thefootballramble.com?
And before we move on, as you guys know, Fort William were at home to Keith.
Last weekend.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
The singular Keith.
Yeah.
How did he get on?
Was there a gubbing?
Yeah, they lost 4-1 at home to Keith.
Hey, got a goal?
Just
got
one
goal.
Man.
Got a goal.
I don't know if Keith scored for Keith. I can't find it, but hopefully he did.
He scored a goal. It's good. We scored a goal against Spain. They scored a goal against Keith.
Yeah, if only... Football.
That's what England need, a confidence-inducing friendly against Fort William FC.
It wouldn't be a bad thing. Yeah. Wales were away in Denmark. Denmark got themselves together and beat Wales 2-0. Differing fortunes for Wales, because they beat Ireland 4-1.
Mm.
Ireland were terrible.
I know, but Wales were good, though.
Whatever the Welsh for a gubbing is, and do get in touch with an equipment.
A gubbing!
They were fantastic, weren't they? And that real spirit of the Euros almost was there. They looked really exciting and just really up for anything. It's a shame Gareth Bale's second goal was disallowed, even though the whistle went about a minute before he hit it, because that was a beauty as well.
He did score a good goal.
Oh, he scored a beautiful goal, an even better one than that one. But it was a really dynamic performance from Wales. It was really
all is not right in the camp at Republic of Ireland. No. I mean, the players are playing. There are players not playing because of apparently some sort of problem with Roy Keane.
I was
surprisingly
about to say, can you pinpoint it on one man?
Yeah,
well, you really can. Like, he's made comments about so many footballers that just don't want to play for Ireland. He's a problem.
Yeah.
Wales must be gutted at that to play against the proper Denmark.
Yeah.
But it disrupted Wales as probably their preparations, because
it was sorted out on Thursday.
It was late doors.
Yeah, okay.
Cuz one minute you're trying to prepare against
a pub team.
Well, no, you're trying to prepare against the proper side, and then the pub team shows out in the friendly, and you think, hang on, what's going on? And the players are thinking, it's hard to keep yourself in that mindset. You know, Slovakia said they found it hard to prepare for the game. Mm. And then of course that then happens, and Denmark looked pretty good, actually. I mean, to beat a decent side in Wales, who off the back of that were flying high, you've got to hand it to them. They're a very difficult side to beat, Denmark. I mean, if you look at some of the stats, they've only conceded 2 goals in their past 9 home games, which, and you saw at the World Cup, it was only on penalties that Croatia beat them.
Yeah, Christian Eriksen is so consistently world class for Denmark, a real cut above anyone else on the
pitch. They couldn't deal with him. The positions he takes up, he takes up such good positions. When I saw this game, every single time Denmark had the ball, Eriksen was in space. He finds space so well. And the first goal was a great example of that, where he just in between the lines, as they say, picked the ball up. And he's such a good player that he doesn't need much time, and he just rifles it in the bottom corner.
And that's the thing.
When you
have a player who can find space, because Wales, the one player, when you play against Denmark, the one player is like, right, we've got to do a job on him.
Mm.
Can't give Eriksen space. And at the end of the game, they lose 2-0. He's got both goals. Okay, second one was a penalty. And you just think, hang on, we planned for this. How did he manage that? But he just finds a way, doesn't he? Good news for Wales, though, obviously. Okay.
It's just a cough, Marcus.
I just wondered what that was. It was interesting. Ethan Ampadu of Chelsea was brilliant against Ireland. Mm. And he looks a player, doesn't he? You know, still, what is he? He's still in his teens. One of those players we think, with someone like Danny Williams. Not Danny Williams. I always get that wrong. Ashley Williams. Not the boxer. Ashley Williams, of course, suffered an injury. Punctured lung, wasn't it? He was out for a bit, and he was rested against Denmark, I believe. So a big character like Williams, who's in that Wales side, towards the end of his career. And when a player like that moves on, you think, who's going to fill those shoes, those very formidable shoes? He's not moved on yet, of course. He's still got a little bit of life in him. But it's good news for Wales, that a young player like that playing...
He's only 17 in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I wish he was playing for another side, a club side, just because...
Well, that's it, isn't it?
They just don't get their chance at Chelsea,
of course.
Yeah, he had an injury, though. His injury, a difficult time last season. He's only just come back. And
he's only 17 as well.
Yeah, he looked fantastic against them.
So assured.
And for a footballer with that hairdo as well. You don't see that often. I mean, I know Henrik Larsson, but his was a bit more streamlined.
I imagine he'll move that on as he gets older.
But Wales, you know, Ryan Giggs spoke about his team as an improving side. We need to learn lessons. It's a little bit like England, I suppose. But again, you look at that result against Ireland. They were brilliant. And away to Denmark, a very canny side, again, who were hard to beat and so on. Not too shabby.
No, absolutely right.
Not too shabby.
And I think one thing I do respect about Wales is they've acknowledged that that Gareth Bale is by far their best player. And they've agreed to sort of not fall in line behind him, but essentially he
doesn't. They've done that for a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. But they continue to do that. They don't farm out wide and that's his best position, so he plays out there. He plays through the middle. He's the main man. And even players like Aaron Ramsey, who is a really established, great top level footballer, is happy to do that.
Yeah. And he's also happy to gift Ireland a goal.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think he's happy to do that, but he did. But let's move on to the Green and White Army of Northern Ireland. They will rue this one.
That first Bosnia goal was a total sucker punch.
Both of them were shouldn't have gone in, really. I mean, Northern Ireland, you know, Bosnia Herzegovina, a decent side with you know, obvious couple of standout players. And on paper, they are better than Northern Ireland. They go there, Northern Ireland, trying to make that home ground a fortress, as they have done for a few years now. They were on top for large parts of the match. They had chances. I mean, the stats, they had 68% possession.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland, England could learn from that.
Yeah.
They had 26 shots to Bosnia Herzegovina's 5 and 18 corners with only one corner conceded against them. And yet they lost the game 2-1. It was such a
shame. Scored from
a corner,
didn't they, as well? They scored the consolation.
Very good goal late on from Grigg. Really sort of nice bit of acrobatics there as well. And also the Bosnia Herzegovina goal scorer was Elvis Savic.
Yes, Saric.
Which is Saric, rather, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, that's a special name.
The first Bosnia goal was massively against the run of play. Northern Ireland just had a little bit of a lack of cutting edge. And then the second goal was, of course, a big mix-up by Peacock Farrell and Cathcart. Both who've had good starts to the season,
by the way. But Cathcart, for the first goal, he could have dived in and hooked it away, but he sort of let it run across him, yeah. I think, a little bit.
I wondered the keeper could have come out and got that as well.
I just think, yeah, it's such a shame for them because, you know, you've got to win your home games or at least not lose your home games in the UEFA Nations League. As we know, it's a grueling competition, Peter.
And there was a horrendous miss by Dallas as well.
Yeah, Dallas had a difficult one to take. But
they had this situation where they almost dominated the game, but they had no cutting edge. Mm. And then they made mistakes at the other end.
Yeah, Lafferty. That's what I mean. Like, if they hadn't have made the mistakes, they'd have probably drawn.
I was also gutted about how old Robert Prosinecki looks now. He looks homeless.
He looked like that when he was playing at Pompey, was he not?
Maybe I just forgot.
Didn't you see him outside the stadium having a cigarette?
He didn't look old. He was about 32. He didn't look that old.
Oh, I thought, right. Yeah. He looked a bit rough around the edges. Yeah. But yeah, Peacock Farrell, 21-year-old goalkeeper.
He's had a good start of the season, obviously, at Leeds.
And he has. I mean, he's playing for Bielsa's Leeds, which is one of the places to be. I think we can all agree.
One of the places to Bielsa.
But yeah, it's such a shame for him to be on the wrong end of those.
Well, the first goal they conceded was the cross, feasibly, the cross probably should have been stopped.
Mm.
The keeper could have come and dominated the 6-yard box a bit more, and Cathcart could have been a bit more quick to react.
Really gutted.
And that took the wind out of their sails big time. And then obviously having the mistake at the other end, is that in the second half? They had a mistake at the other end and they conceded again. And almost it's a bit like you dominate the game, but you've got no cutting edge. And if you're going to make mistakes at the back, then it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you can look like you are the better team, but obviously, ultimately, they won.
Yep, up against Israel in a friendly this week. So good luck to them there. Talking of friendly, Scotland were beaten 4-0 by Belgium. Big Alex McLeish registered his fourth defeat in 5 for Scotland. This was Scotland's biggest home defeat since England won 5-0 in February 1973. Scotland have lost their last 3 consecutive home matches, which is their joint worst run in their history.
He said, McLeish said that he woke up on Sunday and said, yep, this is where the real work starts. You like that? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well, he also said that he thinks about the Russian manager in the World Cup, that they'd lost all of their matches and then they had quite a good World Cup. He's like,
but
but they were in the World Cup, though, weren't they? They didn't have to qualify.
Yeah. Well, this from the inappropriately named Tom English from the BBC. If you were a Scot, it was painful. An evisceration of McLeish's notion that his team were good enough to go toe-to-toe with the third best team in the world. Delusional. And then McLeish was smiling and laughing with Martinez after the full-time whistle.
I watched the game and a couple of the goals they conceded, it was embarrassing.
So sloppy.
Really, really poor. I like Alex McLeish, by all accounts. He's a lovely fella and he's widely quite popular.
Yeah, Martinez was getting on with him famously after the full-time
whistle. Outside of some areas of Birmingham. It's pretty popular, but I don't think it was the right appointment. I said it as a bit of a joke on Thursday, but genuinely, I thought they should have gone for Big Walter.
Was he up for it though?
He was up for it, but apparently the FA mucked him around. He said, I'll take the job, but I don't want to get in the press, and I don't want you to release it, blah blah. And you need to get it done quickly. I think Walter Smith just felt he's a bit like too long in the tooth for it. Mm. Yeah, Alan McCoy's lined up as his assistant as well. And the SFA just dilly-dallied around, and he just said, look, I don't want it now.
I sound like the SFA. But the thing is with someone like Walter Smith, if you have a team like Scotland, you want someone to go in there a little bit more stick than carrot, perhaps. Mm. Get a feel-good factor in the camp, all that kind of stuff, yeah, but you need to make them organised. You need to get them solid, and the lack of goals is a problem.
Exactly. That's the big problem.
But with McLeish, though, he just looks too relaxed, and I wonder if you think about the job he did a number of years ago, when he was close to getting them to qualify for, was it the 2008 Euros? You know, he did a decent job. Whereas now, it's almost like he's too relaxed.
It was a walk in the park for Belgium, Marcus.
But McLeish's body language, the stuff he was saying, you just think that there's nothing really to hang on.
There's a really sort of great illustration of Scotland's sort of bluntness up front, quite near to the end of the game, where Batshuayi just scored his second goal, and he'd had a lot of space and took it really, really calmly. And someone crossed it in for Stephen Naismith, and he had a bit of time, a bit of space, and as he hit the ball, he was falling over. Mm. And it's like, you know, he's a player that's played in the Premier League and has played at a high level, and
played in the hole for Everton for us. Season, didn't
yeah,
he?
Absolutely.
Did
I had a great time there, and yeah, I mean, even in time and space, everything seems like a stretch. Everything seems a little bit panicked, and I guess it's different from the national team than from the club team. But you know, that's a real, real difference at that level, and it shows.
Yeah, I just think the two best players they've got are Tierney and Robertson.
Yeah,
and he ends up sort of shoehorning them in. I understand why he wants to play them both. But Tierney's played right back before, hasn't he?
Yes, under Strachan, he would often play right back.
So you wonder whether you can really afford to do that against a team like Belgium, who are so good. And let's get it right. I mean, half hour to go, they were 4-0 up, and I don't really think they had their foot on the gas after that. Mm. It was, let's not get injured. This has been a fine exercise for us. And I know it sounds disrespectful to Scotland to say that, but they made like four changes at half time, I think. They knew they were going to win the game pretty easily. They didn't want to risk anyone. Lukaku got a half. Company, I think, got a half. Dries Mertens got a half. Mm. And they changed it all up. And it was easy for them. I was watching it live. And if Scotland are going to get any sort of result against a team like that, which I think is important for them to build, they need to do the basic things right. They need to understand. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go down the Craig Gordon route of playing 4-6-0 at home to Czech Republic or whatever it was. Which
Craig
famous,
Levine. Craig Levine, yeah.
Sorry,
you're mixing with Craig Brown
Gordon.
And
Craig Levine route, yeah, sorry. But what it does mean is it's essentially acknowledging what you're good at. And you're not going to get any confidence or build any sort of momentum if you're going to set up in that way and get your pants pulled down at home in a quite an embarrassing way by a good team. It's no good.
It saps any kind of confidence and positivity. The stadium was not even half full. As you say, the goals were going in. It just looked so drab. And then McLeish is asked about his two options at fullback with Tierney and Robertson, because he played Tierney on the left side of a three and then Robertson left wing back, trying to sort of shoehorn them in. And he said, maybe I could move Andy to left wing in the future and get Kieran in at left back. Who knows? Mm. I was like, well, hopefully you do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your decision.
Yeah.
Thinking out loud,
the future. You can shape the future.
So when he was manager in 2007, you said that he was unlucky not to qualify for Euro 2000.
Well, it was Christian Panucci who scored the goal for Italy that ultimately ended it for
Since then, obviously he went to Birmingham after that, and we know what happened there, and then he went to Villa, and that was awful. Mm. He's not really done anything since. You know, he's gone and taken up jobs in sort of quite weird places.
Well, that's what I mean with someone like McLeish. Sometimes when it comes to international jobs, it doesn't, you know, time can pass and so on. It's a different style of, you know, if you look at someone like Gareth Southgate, his is obviously a different CV to a lot of managers. But with McLeish, he's the type of manager and a type of old school manager where you think, too much has happened since you last really managed at any kind of decent level.
He's essentially trading on that time he had at Rangers, basically.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and this previously at Scotland.
Walter. I mean, like, the same sort of situation there, isn't it?
But he's a type of guy who's going to get them up for it and get them going. And he's at that stage of his managerial career now where he knows it inside out. He's had success pretty much not everywhere he's gone, but he's a bit of an old grandfather figure in Scottish football, right?
I think he commands a bit more respect than McLeish, I would have thought. I mean, just think about it. If
and they'd have Super Ali, Coyston with him as well.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll have a lovely time.
There's the carrot.
They'll get beat 4-0, but they'll have a rollicking time afterwards.
They'll still be free to commentate at the Euros.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Indeed, Jim. And maybe that was the problem. Maybe that was the problem. But the important one for Scotland is tonight against Albania, who beat Israel 1-0. So,
well, this is where it does really matter, isn't it? This is where it starts. And, you know, the drop off between Belgium and Albania is relatively large, shall we say.
It's why the Nations League is important. Because they get to now rebuild against a team who are, you know, according to the coefficient, roughly similar. And hopefully they can put it behind them and crack on.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we are going to crack open the WhatsApp group. See you in a moment.
He played in a reserve game the other day, and I could have run about more than he did.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be out on Thursday. We need a new best better.
Harry Maguire did not score for England, but we respect Lewis Sullivan for his bravery.
Oh.
Did Harry Maguire come close to scoring?
I think he got his head on one of the corners.
He did, of course, land a new contract for Leicester, though, so he's probably happy regardless. But Lewis Sullivan, we hardly knew ye. Oh. You're out in the cold, my friend. So show at thefootballramble.com for the next best better candidate. I'll be picking them ahead of Thursday's show.
So close.
It wasn't that close, was it?
Well, he missed that header.
Yeah.
So.
But it was an ambitious bet, and I do appreciate that.
We were respecting him on Thursday.
What's his name?
Lewis.
Lewis. Yeah, we respect you for that, Lewis.
Yeah.
But an ambitious bet.
It's not a surprise to me that a Southampton fan doesn't really get it when it comes to talking
outrageous.
About football.
Outrageous.
All right, let's move on.
We know what you've done with Sunderland fans over the years.
Hasn't done it for a while because they're down in League One.
It doesn't need to.
Yeah, we don't
out of sight, out of mind.
All right, then. It's time to open the WhatsApp group.
It is time to open the WhatsApp group. Just remembered we've got a little jingle. And here...
I mean, I pointed at the thing that you said that.
Well,
why don't you point your finger a little bit further?
When
next
he points.
To the iPad,
sorry. I apologise, everybody. I'll point my finger a bit further.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I'm not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
You do have a jingle.
Yeah. It's the WhatsApp group, everybody!
You can tell that Pete's not got to be in his bonnet about the jingle by listening to the jingle.
Oh, now then,
point your finger a bit further.
How big is this bonnet that you always say I've got bees in?
It's massive because there's so many bees in it.
It's a ridiculous place to put bees.
No, not that they've got flowers on them.
Oh.
The whole point is a bonnet's got flowers in it.
Yeah, but why are the bees... That makes it sound like the bees are inside the bonnet, where the flowers...
You're right, Peter. You don't have any bees in your bonnet.
No. Pete, how many irate people would be in their bonnet do you see around here?
Bee on my bonnet.
This could be a regular...
Bee buzzing around in my bonnet.
No, it's in your bonnet.
Why is it in my bonnet, though?
Well, you tell me.
Yeah, but in my bonnet would be underneath the hat.
That's the saying.
Yeah, I know, but it's a ridiculous saying and it shouldn't be used.
You've literally got a bee in your bonnet about the phrase bee in your bonnet.
Yeah. Damn right I have.
Last week he got genuinely quite annoyed because of the phrase monkey on your back.
Yeah.
I'd quite like to have a monkey on my back.
Yeah.
Just give me a regular feature.
Damn right. Here's a top 10 list of monkeys I let on my back. Rhesus. Woolly. Langer.
You're not going to do 10. You're never going to do
Capuchin,
10.
Capuchin. Spider. They've got prehensile tails.
That's five.
That is five.
You don't get any further. You should have said five.
Well, the little money. Tamarind.
Okay. Yeah. Howler.
Howler.
You just said any monkey you could think of.
Proboscis. Right.
Proboscis.
What kind of bees do you want in your bonnet?
Yeah. What are the big ones? Macaque.
Yeah. That's nine.
Oh, I just need one more monkey. One more monkey. That's all I need. What are the ones that look like David Bowie in Labyrinth?
Oh.
Oh, they're little monkeys. Little baby tropical monkeys.
That's
an ape.
It's an ape, Jim.
Just have Ross's monkey from Friends and we're done.
That's a spider monkey.
No, it's not.
Capuchin. I've already said it.
One more.
It doesn't matter. Pete, I'm now thinking of you with a monkey on your back and that monkey's got a bonnet on it.
Yeah.
With a bee in the bonnet on the monkey.
Seeing,
on your
back. Hearing, and speaking an awful lot of evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right then. We mentioned Diego Maradona. I can't remember if that was... I think that was in the WhatsApp chat last week. Well, he's back in there because he's been appointed coach of Mexican second division side, Dorados.
But football won't learn, will it?
No.
How can there be anyone left on earth that doesn't realise this is a terrible idea that will end badly?
A side that is placed, inconveniently, some may argue, in the heartland of Mexico's drug cartels.
Isn't it in Sinaloa? Which is one of the biggest drug cartels in the world.
Yeah. LDA goes off.
Can't get money from somewhere. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There can't be a publicly traded company that hasn't employed that man.
The thing about that, not even he can think that's a good idea.
No.
No,
what do you like the most? Right, let's go to where it is.
Yeah, but that's the thing. What do you have to say to him? Right, Diego, we've got this opportunity. What have you got to present him in which he goes, oh, nah. Yeah.
I would love a list of the jobs he's turned down. He must have turned some of them down.
Maybe he doesn't turn them down. He's just working through them.
I think that's it.
The ones that involve hard work anything. He turns down. Yeah. Would you like to work in a factory? Definitely not.
Yeah, well, that's, Diego Maradona shouldn't be working in a factory, should he?
Depends on the factory, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's a football factory.
A dream factory.
Dream factory. Yeah,
Puddle factory. You can do a little belly slide in it.
I know. Honey factory.
Well, Maradona, my giddy aunt. So there we are. He's back in there. Yes. We enjoyed this, didn't we? Brazil beat the US 2-0 in the friendly match in New Jersey. And there was a little video that was doing the rounds when Neymar went down and seemed to be in some discomfort. And the referee...
I mean, he wasn't in any discomfort.
Yeah, well, the referee was seen conversing with Newcastle United man DeAndre Yedlin, who seemed to say to the referee repeatedly with a smile, "Did you watch the World Cup?" Did you watch the World Cup?
Maybe he was just, pleased about how good the World Cup was. Yeah.
Well, it was good, wasn't it? It was
did
good.
Did you watch the World Cup? The US were not involved.
I was going to say, the ref could have said, "Yeah, and I didn't see you there."
Yeah, that's what the referee should have said.
Well, that's effectively what Neymar has said, isn't it? He sort of responded to this by basically going, "I don't know who that is."
Yeah. So, all right, Neymar, you seem in more discomfort.
Mm.
So that was enjoyable.
Emperor tamarind. It's a different kind of tamarind monkey.
You could have had a Barbary macaque or a lion tail macaque or a yellow tail woolly monkey if you wanted.
All right, lemur. Fucking lemur.
It's not a monkey, is it?
Yeah, it's a capital city.
Is it nice to get the monkey out of your bonnet, though?
Yeah. It is.
Peter,
hello.
Something that has made you slightly irate and sad. Is that your favourite Chinese takeaway is closing down in central London?
Yeah, I don't know why this is in the show.
Well, because it was in the WhatsApp group and you tweeted about
it. That's the thing, though, isn't it? The problem with international weekends, we find things to amuse ourselves.
Because you said last week that you were going to buy a Chinese and watch England v Spain.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did. Right. They're not closing until September 29th.
How did you hear the news when you went in there to get the Chinese for England v Spain?
The woman who
she said, "That's the man."
She knows my order off by heart. She's already typing in before I even,
did you tell
her
you're moving out of the area?
She went, we're closing down on the 29th. I was like, what? And I was like, I mean, I live next to Chinatown. I don't think I'll be short of a Chinese takeaway.
Why don't you go to Chinatown to get your Chinese food?
Because Tuk Tuk's even closer.
That's fair, is it not?
Pete sometimes sends a picture of the plate of Chinese food that he's eating. And can I say, it always looks horrendous.
It's wonderful.
It's
nuclear.
The colours look so unnatural.
But isn't this the place that gives you sort of like a month's supply for 15 quid or something?
Yeah, so it's amazing value. Tuk Tuk.
Differing quality.
I give it the Pete Donaldson thumbs up for the next 29 days.
It's such good value, they're going out of business.
Have you asked them to recommend a new one, or is that a bit, is that not done?
I think they're going to move into Chinatown, so I will have to follow them into Chinatown.
they've been bought out by Mike Ashley, who's still trying to save the British culture.
They're trying to edge further away from Pete's front door.
Go in there, there's just spring rolls all over the floor.
Speaking of the WhatsApp, did you see Mike Ashley's amazing trousers over the weekend?
Yes, I did
He was spotted visiting, I think, one of his properties. Maybe it might have been a House of Fraser, I don't know, but he was wearing what can only be described as like the biggest jeans you've ever seen in your life. Incredible.
I can well imagine.
Yeah.
Gigantic.
There was a lot of space around his ankles.
It wasn't even boot cut.
No.
He could fit some bees up there, I tell you.
Yeah. They were bonnet cut.
They're like those old, this pair of trousers that you sometimes back in the day you see French women wear. They're called culottes.
Oh, right.
The width on them.
They're like my old skater trousers, but my skater trousers didn't go in at the end.
Yeah, I don't think Mike Ashley's been brushing up on his classic French women's kind of fashion.
No, that's not for me. No, maybe that's a new sports direct season.
Maybe not. And one last thing in the WhatsApp group, we're treated to a photo of two snakes having it off and a dingo eating a shark, presumably in Australia.
Yeah, it was in Australia. It's one of the best photos I've ever seen. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
There's so much happening.
Yeah. Check that out. It's a half a shark, literally half a shark, the front half, on a beach with a dingo stood next to it and then two snakes having sex in the foreground. The scene is so typically Australian.
I really want to see that man in Manchester who's lying down on
with a pint.
Just in the foreground. Castlemaine Forex.
And the dingo was having a rest from eating the shark, having a drink out of a Sports Direct mug.
It's quite
a young looking shark as well. So it's a dingo's ate my baby shark, effectively.
Yeah. It's very Australia.
Yeah.
I hope not for their sakes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. Thank you very much for listening. It's been a pleasure talking to you. The preview show is on Thursday. We'll see you for then. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Well, say goodbye, BT.
Shellacking.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was saying something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.